Take your Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians. Galatians, Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. We'll start here tonight in the book of Ephesians, and we'll try to make our way through the book of Ephesians here, verse by verse, on a Wednesday night. And thank you all for being here. I started sleeting a little bit or raining a little bit, and I checked the temperature, and it really wasn't freezing per se yet. And so I didn't know how many was going to be here tonight, but I thank you for coming. Appreciate you for coming. And we'll try to do our best to get you out of here. And so before it does, I think it's going to do something tonight. And so anyway, ain't y'all loving this global warming we have? It's great. Al Gore, man, I'm telling you, he's right. Yes. Bless his heart. The Bible says it confound the wise, become fools. It's an amazing thing. That ship out there got frozen to ice. They were out there researching global warming. And that, well, they won't tell you that on the news, but, you know, God just look. Y'all think, well, Brother Jeremy cuts up too much. God's got a sense of humor. He's laughing at that. And anyway, Ephesians chapter number 1, and we'll look here at the book of Ephesians here. Let's look at, let's read a couple of verses, sort of get started in it, and probably all we'll do tonight is an introduction to the book of Ephesians. We'll try to give you a few things that'll help you. And let's look at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, while we were reading 7 verses, if there wasn't any something on the, a spark on the inside of you that just wanted to, you just wanted to go, whoo, there's something wrong with you after reading the 7 verses. If there wasn't, you know, I know everybody don't act the same. Everybody don't shout. Everybody, I understand that. But if there wasn't something down on the inside of you, when you start reading about what the Lord done for you when he saved you, he made you accepted in the Beloved, and he blessed you with all kinds of spiritual blessings, and the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace. Hey, his grace ain't broke. And it's an amazing thing to what we see here in the book of Ephesians. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless the next few minutes in our Bible study, and I pray we'd get something out of this tonight, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Amen. Now, number one, the book of Ephesians, by way of introduction, has 6 chapters. It's got 155 verses. Not a very large book, but the main focus of the book of Ephesians is to show the oneness of God's people in union with Christ. It was written by the Apostle Paul. You notice the Apostle Paul signed his name there. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and so on and so forth. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul. You see, the Apostle Paul is the writer. The Apostle Paul wrote 13 books in the New Testament. Romans, 1st Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. 13 books in the New Testament the Apostle Paul signed his name to. And the Apostle Paul, no doubt, is the writer. Now, the Apostle Paul was in prison when he wrote the book of Ephesians. You say, how do you know that? Well, you look at, you're there in chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Notice he's a prisoner. Look at 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Look at 6:20. For which I am an ambassador in bonds. You see that? In bonds. The Apostle Paul is writing this from prison. Now, those 13 books that I just told you about are divided up into two categories. The first, I forget how many, six or so, are Acts epistles. In other words, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and so on and so forth, were written during the Acts period. And then after Acts 28, you'll see Paul going to prison. There's where he writes Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians, and Philemon, and 1 and 2 Timothy, and so on and so forth, and Titus. He writes those from a prison cell. And so we see here Paul is the author. He's in prison. But now let me give you a little background. Let me give you a background of the book of Ephesians. Take your hand and go to Acts 19 for a second. All this is introduction. Acts 19. Here's where Paul goes to Ephesus. And let's find out what happens. Very interesting. I'll try to make it as interesting as possible. Acts chapter 19. And Paul goes to Ephesus. Let me give you the little background. He goes into this city. This is a pagan city. You'll find that out in just a minute. But Paul goes in. Revival breaks out. He starts healing people and different things. That's when some of the sign gifts were still in effect. Now look at verse 23 of Acts 19. In the same time there arose no small stir about that way. If there was no small stir, if it was no small stir, what was it? It was a big stir. In other words, Paul comes into town, has it, people start getting saved, and people start getting right with God, and the people get stirred up. Now look at verse 24. For a certain man named Demetrius, he's a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto his... If it brought no small gain, what did it bring? A big game. So they have in Ephesus, they have this big old temple. It's probably twice the size of our building. Our building's 100 feet this way, 200 this way. And theirs was double that, 56 feet high, those 56 foot pillars in the front. I mean, it looked, humongous building dedicated to this goddess Diana. They called her Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. And I'll tell you a little bit more about her in just a minute. But when people started getting saved, this silversmith in town, how many, all right, when you go to Florida, now just let's take a test. When you go to Florida, go vacation to Florida, what do you bring back from Florida? Sand, or you bring back a seashell? Okay, when you go to the Temple Diana, when you walk in, you've got these little shrines that this silversmith made, little statues that you pray to. And they sell them. They sell them right there. And so if everybody's getting saved, they're not buying the little shrines. And the silversmith gets upset. And he says, we got to do something about this Apostle Paul. We don't even want him in our town. I mean, look at verse 25. When he had called together the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, we know that by this craft we have our wealth. I mean, it's where our bread and butter is. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. We are telling people that these little gods, they put them on their car, the dashboard of their car, and it protects them. You got a safety shrine. He watches over you on the travels. And then you've got this another one that you put in your bed, and he watches over you at night. And then you buy this one over here, and he helps you in your hospital room, and he watches over you. Saint so-and-so. Saint so-and-so.
Amen.
Paul comes into town and says, "You bunch of heathens, there ain't but one God, and it's not made with hands. He's in heaven." And everybody's looking at him going, "I don't want that no more. Y'all quit buying them things." And the silversmith's like, "Let's have a little business meeting. We didn't have a little business meeting. I mean, this fella, we don't mind people having religion. Just don't get in my pocket. When you start affecting my pocket, I mean, hey, I don't care what you worship. Just don't affect my pocketbook." You see. Verse 27. "So that not only this our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. When they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. The whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one into the theater." That's why you ought not go to the theater. You go into the theater, and I'm telling you, it's fixing to break out. They brought some of Paul's folks in. They grabbed them and brought them in. They fixing to, give them a once-over. "And when Paul," verse 30, "would have entered into the people, the disciples suffered him not." Paul, you sure don't want to come in here. Paul, if you know what's good for you. They if you walk in there, you're the cause of all this. You're getting all these people saved, and they're in an uproar, and you need to stay outside. And so that's what we have here. Now look at verse 34. I'm breaking down here. "But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried out, Great is Diana of the Ephesians." Notice verse 35. "And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, Ye men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how that the city of Ephesus is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Jupiter?" The city of Ephesus, this is what they believed. They believed the goddess Diana fell out of heaven from Jupiter and came to this earth. And the goddess Diana, if you'll look her up on the internet, I would have shown you a picture of her. But and listen to me real good, I would be embarrassed to show you a picture of her in mixed company. There's some stuff, even while preaching, you don't mention in mixed company. I respect our people enough that I would not. But if you want to go home and look it up yourself, help yourself. But she was the goddess Diana. She had a hat on that pictured the Tower of Babel. It looked like a Tower of Babel sitting on top of her head. Amen. Other things I will not describe about her. But this temple was built in Ephesus and dedicated to her. They called her the Queen of Heaven. And for 2 solid hours, they said, blessed, or whatever they said, they cried out, great be Diana of the faith, for 2 solid hours, repetitiously. This Diana, this statue of her, she's got rosary beads around her neck. And you have Tower of Babel on her head. Young women would give themselves to the temple and start working in the temple and give themselves of this temple. That's as far as I'm going with there. They did a lot of work in that temple. This temple had secret codes, secret orders. secret societies, a secret grip, what they called a secret grip, a secret handshake before you could get in the temple of Diana, of the Ephesians. You may not like that, but you come to Holy Hills because we tell you the truth. You don't have to like it. But they had secret grips and secret codes and code words that you would throw out to get you into the door. You had to be a member of a secret society before you could come in and worship and take part of what was going on the inside of that. Oh yeah. Key words. The Diana of the Ephesians. This is what Paul was up against. Everybody in that town worshipped in this goddess. Some people called her Ishtar. She had different names in different religions. Rome called her a certain thing, and the Greeks called her something else, and the Ephesians called her Diana of the Ephesians, and she was called by many different names, the Queen of Heaven. Many different things. She was the fertility goddess. And it was sort of like, on Easter when the rabbit comes out. And the rabbit lays the egg, and it's, I've never seen a rabbit lay an egg. But I promise you, if them rabbits ever start laying them Cadbury eggs, I'm getting me one. Hallelujah. I'm investing in one of them rabbits. But how many of you know what is the symbol? The Playboy? The rabbit? Fertility? Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians. That's what Paul was up against when he came into town. Everybody's worshiping. And Paul comes in and preaches and says, this is a paganism. You need to receive Christ as your personal Savior. And have you noticed? They worshiped. I'm an introduction now. Worship this temple built on earth. You ever wondered why in the book of Ephesians in chapter number 5? Paul described a building not made with hands, but a building in the heavens where a saved person is placed into that body without buildings, without brick and mortar and statues and all of these kinds of things. That's why Paul did what he did in the book of Ephesians. Paul was up against a whole lot here. Now, let me show you a few things about the book of Ephesians real quick before we go. By way of introduction, this will finish us up in the way of introduction. Now, the book of Ephesians is divided into two divisions. Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3. And then you'll have Ephesians 4, 5, 6. You divide the book of Ephesians in that way. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 deal with your standing. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 deal with your state. There is a difference. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 deal with his part. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 deals with our part. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 deals with our relationship, which never changes. Relationship never changes. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 deals with our fellowship, which changes. It changes every day. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, everyone is the same. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, everybody's not the same. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, everybody in here is perfect. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, everybody in here not perfect. Now, y'all are going, that don't make sense. Well, it makes sense when you understand, as a saved individual, your two parts. You, as a saved person, you have a standing with Christ. When you got saved, y'all see this little fella right here? Son, he's got a smile on his face. That's me. That's my saved part. Y'all see me? I'm in red. I've been washed in the blood. I'm perfect. My wife's going, no, he ain't either. But see, my wife's referring to this one. I'm referring to this one right now. And this guy's perfect. This guy don't sin. This guy, when I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came down and picked me up. All right, hold the phone. Look at chapter 5 real quick. Real quick. I tell you what, on your way to chapter 5, look at the end of chapter 1. Verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. What's the church? Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All right? Who's the head? Oh, that's Jesus Christ. He's the head. Everybody with me? Jesus Christ is the head. Well, if you got a head, he's got a body. And that head is attached to the body. And Jesus Christ sat down when he ascended into heaven. He sat down at the right hand of God. He's the head and he has a body. Up there. That's what it said. Now look at chapter 5. Chapter 5. And boy, I know some of y'all will skip when we get to chapter 5. Because it says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the what? Church. You thought he was talking about the Baptist church, the Methodist church, Presbyterian church, the Church of God's, and you thought that, didn't you? No. He's talking about something different. Gave him to be the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the... All right, where's Jesus at right now? He's up there, right hand. He's got a head. He's the head. He's got a body. All right. Chapter 2. This is introduction now. That's why we're all over the map. Verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses. That's before you got saved. You were dead, trespasses and sin. But look at verse number 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with him by grace you saved. All right, what did he do after that? He hath raised us up together and made us sit together where? Where? In Christ Jesus. All right, ready? Well, I was a 10-year-old boy. I was dead in my sins. I was dark on the inside. I was lost. God started to deal with my heart. The Holy Spirit convicted my heart. I cried out and said, Lord, I need you to save me. I can't save myself. And the Holy Spirit came down. He picked me up. And he placed me over here. Y'all see me? There I am. That's a little bigger than I am, but anyway. Everything's smiling there. Look at there. Saved. I'm in the body of Christ. Now, where is the Lord? He's up there. Where am I? Well, this part is up there. What y'all are looking at is my state. Y'all looking at my state. My standing, I'm already there waiting on my body to catch up. I'm waiting on the Lord to come get this one and change him so he can be fashioned like unto his glorious body and both of these dudes can come back together again. You understand? That's what Ephesians is all about. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, in Christ. Hey, let me show you something real quick. Watch this. In Christ. Let me show you this. Real quick. 1:1. Ephesians 1:1. You got to turn real fast. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful, where? In Christ. Look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What? In Christ. Look at verse 4. According as He hath chosen us, where? In Him. Look at verse 6. To the praise of His glory, of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. See all of that? In Him. Look at chapter 2, verse 6. Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly place, in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You see all of that? I'm not going to read all of them, but look at chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of it in Christ. Look at verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith. By the faith of Him. In whom? All right, now listen to me. You see that in chapter 3, verse 6 and 12? That's the last time you see in Christ. The last time. The only time you see in Christ is in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. You will never read in Christ in chapter 4, 5, and 6. Because He ain't in Christ. Yet. Some of you are like, whether you know it or not, you got a saved part. And you got a mean part. You say, preacher, I'm saved. I know it. But there's a part of you ain't saved yet. And if you ever get riled up, I'm telling you, I can get riled up in a minute. You mean you're a preacher? Oh, yeah, I can get riled up in a minute. That fellow right there, I'm talking about, he can get riled up. Now, this one is perfect. This one ain't perfect. This one is saved, and I'm talking about relationship. He's saved, sealed, in Christ. Can't change that. This fellow over here, sometimes his fellowship's closer than other times. You say, preacher, all right, Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. What does Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 talk about? Chapter 4, look. Chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you what? Walk. That's your walk. Look at verse 17. This I therefore, or say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, what? Walk. Chapter 5, verse 2. And what? Walk in love. Look at verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Look at verse 15. So then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know what Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 deal with? That's your daily walk with the Lord. And here's the kicker right here. Here's the thing. You ever wondered why those of you that are saved, I hope everybody's saved in this room right now. I hope you are. But have you ever wondered why you can be saved as saved can be? And sometimes you're like, am I really saved? Man, if I was really saved, I wouldn't act that way. You're two people. You've got one that's in Christ, and you've got one that's still in Adam. Waiting on to get in Christ. You say, the rapture of the church. You know what the rapture of the church is for? To come get that dude. And change him in the middle of the air so he'll look like this dude. And so they both can look like this one. That's what the book of Ephesians is all about. You say, what about my... You see, you got a position. Your position, your saved position, is I'm in Christ. That's my position in Christ. This is my practice. Sometimes you may see me out and you say, well, Brother Jeremy, I don't know. I don't know. I saw him out on that softball field. He didn't act like no preacher out there. Well, that was my practice, you saw. See, my position, he don't sin. That dude don't sin. But this one, he'll do it every chance he gets. And here's the thing. You know what living the Christian life is? Living the Christian life is getting this guy to look and act like this guy as much as possible. You can't have the attitude, well, Brother Jeremy said we're going to sin anyway. We might as well go out and do what we want to. No. You can't have that attitude. The Christian life is getting this guy to walk and practice like your position. Give you an instance. Little fellow's born into a king, queen's house. They called him the prince. Little kid. Grew up, run around all over the place. I mean, just snotty-nosed kid. And as he grew, he was still the prince. You with me? His prince. I mean, he would mess up. He'd disobey his mom and dad, and boy, they'd have to get a switch after him, whoop him. Guess what? He's still a prince. He wasn't acting like one, but he still was one. He grew up as a teenager, and then people would look at him and go, man, I know his mom and daddy. And I'm going to tell you, I know he's a prince. He sure ain't acting like one. That didn't mean he stopped being a prince because he wasn't acting like one. This guy wasn't acting like his position. His position was a prince. He was fixing to take over when his daddy passed away. His position was already fixed. But this guy wasn't acting like his position. And then later he grew up. That's what the Bible says, grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he grew up, he started acting like his position. When you start maturing as a Christian, you start acting like you're saved. You understand? And I'm telling you this right here. What I'm telling you tonight, this is no new thing. I just didn't come up. I did not get no special revelation back there in the office. This right here is in the Bible, been in the Bible a long time. And churches all over Dyersburg, Tennessee, if they ever get this, they'll go home and sleep good tonight, knowing I'm seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and the devil can't do anything about it. That's a blessing to know. Now I'll tell you this. This fellow right here, that's our part. Ephesians 4, 5, 6, that's our part. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, that's his part. That's what he did. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, it's what he did for you. I saved you. I sealed you. I sanctified you. I sealed you to the day of redemption. I accepted you in the beloved. I did this for you, this for you, this for you. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. Now, because he did his part, I ought to want to do my part. And that's Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. I'll end with this illustration. I've told it before. But here's the best illustration I know of these two guys. A fella goes into the bar. He goes into a bar. He's about 6'8", about 300 pounds, not an inch of fat on him. I mean, he just bowled up. You understand? He'd go in that place, he'd walk in and whoop seven guys at once. I mean, beat the tar out of them, throw them out one-handed out the front door. Nobody messed with him. Until he started drinking. He started drinking. He'd get about 10 or 12 in him.
I just want to tell you, I'm feeling real good right now. 7 foot, 300 some pound, not an inch of fat on him. And when he got like that, they pounced on him and whooped the far out of him. Y'all know what whooping the far out of you is? His position, he can whoop 10 guys at once. But whenever there was a time when his practice didn't match his position, you'll get whooped. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Paul says, won't you start acting like it? That's what the book of Ephesians is all about. Hey, y'all are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Everything in heaven is yours. Won't you start acting like it? Sometimes we're acting like this. Well, I just don't feel like reading my Bible. Lord, I've been watching Jerry Springer all day. Boy, as the world turns. Boy, that was good today. Oh, I wonder who killed JR. And the devil walked right in, he beat your brains out. Because you ain't acting like what you're supposed to be. That's what the book of Ephesians is all about. Stand in state. Paul said over there in Philippians chapter 2 about their state. He was concerned about their state. And of course, Romans chapter 5 talks about wherein we stand. You run that through the Bible, it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. So, what we got to do tonight? Well, we got to start getting this guy to act like this guy on the inside of you. What's living the Christian life? Man, you're talking about that's tough right there. You know what Galatians 5 says? Galatians 5 says the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. When you wake up in the morning, you, right now you're going, man, I'm fixing to be him. I'm gonna read my Bible. I'm reading 10 chapters in the morning. Man, I tell you what, I'm getting up hour early. Son, I'm gonna pray 30 minutes. I'm reading 10 chapters in the Bible. And when you wake up in the morning, this guy goes, you ain't gotta do that. I mean, come on, huh? Am I the only one? That's what goes on inside your body every day, including mine. Amen. All right.